From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is dealing with the final mention of the Holy Spirit in this, the last message in a series on the Holy Spirit. The text is Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." We've seen that the text contains the final mention of the focus of the Spirit's ministry to testify of Christ's finished work of redemption. Also, Dr. Cairns has explained the text's final mention of the fellowship between the Spirit and the Bride of Christ, the Church. He placed particular emphasis upon the necessity of the Church speaking only what the Spirit speaks, that is, the Holy Scriptures. Today, Dr. Cairns arrives at the final form of the Spirit's message. It is an invitation to sinners to come to Christ. Before the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, justified without works or justified by works? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Is there a contradiction between Paul and James when Paul says we're justified by faith without works? And James says, we're justified by works. On the surface, it appears that those two statements are in diametrical opposition. One is answering the other. Well, of course, you've got to step back and say, is that the case? James was not answering Paul, and Paul was not answering James. The context is vital to each statement. I think it was J. Gresham Machen, the great Presbyterian preacher of the 1930s, who said that the faith that Paul was commending was not the faith that James was condemning. And the works that Paul was condemning are not the works that James is commending. Now let me explain. Paul was dealing with how a person is saved. How is he justified? Is it by anything that he does? Or is it by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone? Paul says it's this latter way. Justification by faith without works. Nothing we can do adds to our acceptance with God. Christ's merits are our only ground of acceptance with God. James, on the other hand, was dealing with people who glibly made professions of faith, but their so-called faith made no difference to their lifestyle. They were just as ungodly as ever. And he's saying that's not faith at all. In fact, he calls it a dead faith. Now, Paul never argued that people are saved by a dead faith. It was a living faith in a living Christ. James is saying dead faith can't save you. So let me paraphrase then. Paul is saying a living faith is a justifying faith. James is saying a dead faith is not a justifying faith. So there's no contradiction. They're actually saying the same truth, but they're attacking the subject from different angles. As I say, in James' case, he's saying, if you say you're saved, you say you're justified, you say you have faith, how can you show your faith to me? How can I know that you have faith? How can anybody know that you have faith? I tell you I have faith. How can I show you my faith? I can't, unless it is by the evidence that faith always produces, which is good works. So you wrap up the whole doctrine, and this is what the Reformers taught, and they're simply echoing Paul and James. We are justified by faith alone, but faith that justifies is never alone. In other words, it always produces something. In the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The moment a person places his faith in Christ, at that moment he's as justified as he will ever be, now or in eternity. But that moment is not the only moment of his salvation. He continues to grow in grace, and that faith is a living principle which, according to Galatians 5 verse 6, works by love. It is going to be evidenced, as Paul says, we're created unto or for good works. James says, you say you have faith. Well, I'll show you my faith. How? By my works. So remember, Paul is teaching a living faith justifies. James is teaching a dead faith cannot justify. There's no contradiction.
Lord, I believe.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the January issue will be the Gospel of Luke. The articles include Luke, the Man and His Message, A Primer on Prayer, The Parables, and Following Christ, the Meaning of Discipleship. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. John Douglas. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How do you explain unanswered prayer? And what is marriage? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Church or a preacher, the power of the Spirit of God. That's all that's necessary. He will take the truth and he will apply it. My, how we need to be in prayer for that mighty conjunction of the church and her witness with the Holy Spirit and his witness. So Acts 5 and 32 would show our need of the Spirit. But, you know, it also shows what our text is showing, the graciousness of the Holy Ghost in using men and women, redeemed people, the bride of Christ, to be his witness. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, let me tell you this. There's a great theological theme here that I really don't want to get into. This is I have dealt with much deep theology in our course through the Scriptures and the subject of the Holy Spirit. I'm only summarizing it all today. So I don't want to get into the deep theology of it. But let me say, from this text, I can set it down as a biblical truth that the bride, the church, speaks only, or should speak only, what the Spirit speaks. I want you to get that. Where does the Spirit speak? There's where the Spirit speaks. This is the Spirit-breathed Word. And the Church of Jesus Christ, the true Church of Christ, does not define new doctrine or doctrine that is not settled by the Word of God. I have no right suddenly to announce that Mary was born without sin. I have no right to say that. I have no right to say that Mary is now the Queen of Heaven. I have no right to say that she was assumed into heaven in a bodily form. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say it, and also because it would hit at the root of many other great and important Bible doctrines. But the point is this. The so-called magisterium of the church that Rome believes in and that some so-called Protestants believe in, that enables it to define with infallible accuracy some doctrinal position not held in the Word of God is absolutely foreign to Bible Christianity. The church's job is to say what the Spirit says after him and pray that he will back home what she says with his authority and power. That's the ministry of the Spirit and of the church. We say what he says after him. I can say what this Bible says with absolute confidence. If the Bible teaches it, it's true. Jesus says, search the Scriptures. So I can come and by the grace of the Spirit of God, I can search the Scriptures. And if the Bible says something, teaches something, then it is infallibly true. It's not true because I say it, because the church defines it, because a pope or priest or preacher says it. It's not true because some council has arrived at it. It's true because the Spirit says it. Our job is to speak only what the Spirit speaks. And of course, that means that we are to be his mouthpiece to tell the world of Christ. It's interesting that the last mention of the church in Scripture is doing exactly what the Spirit does in his last mention in Scripture, and that is reaching out to the lost. The Church of Jesus Christ and each member of it is to be a mouthpiece to carry the blessed message of God the Holy Spirit to a lost world. We are never meant to sit back carelessly at ease while the world would go down to hell and we think nothing of it. We're never meant to do that. The church is never meant to become simply a comfortable middle-class social club. There's nothing wrong with people being middle-class. I haven't come as a Marxist or revolutionary. Nothing wrong at all. Just so long as we remember that we are here as part of the only class that matters. It's the class of people who are called the redeemed. And we're here to reach out to the only other class that God recognizes on the face of the earth, and they are the unredeemed, the unsaved. We're here to speak the gospel to them. I trust that every Christian will take seriously the fact that God the Holy Spirit associates us in fellowship with Him in His work of reaching the lost. The final thing I want to say is that we not only have the final focus of the Spirit's ministry, the final fellowship of His ministry, but we have the final form of His ministry. Now, I'll be honest that a preacher setting up the message would have had to bring this in a lot earlier, but I wanted to leave it to the end deliberately. For as we leave God's house today, I want this to ring in every heart. If you're in this meeting this morning and you're not a born-again, blood-washed, justified believer in Jesus Christ, if you cannot say, "It is well with my soul," and there is the reason given you in Scripture, and I want you to listen carefully. The final form that the ministry of the Holy Ghost takes is an invitation to sinners. Right back in the book of Genesis, the very first form of the ministry of the Holy Spirit was the form of creation, where by omnipotent power He brings creation out of nothing. He brings form out of chaos. That's the first form of the Spirit's ministry. And we have traced all the various ways that Scripture shows us the Spirit working. But now here is the very last thing that the Bible tells us. And the Holy Spirit Himself, in inspiring John to write this, would want this, therefore, inscribed upon our hearts. The last thing the Holy Spirit does in the Bible is to invite sinners to Christ. What a truth that is. Tells me, you know, that right throughout the course of time, the Holy Ghost will continue to be active in the world, calling the lost to Christ and converting them to the Savior. Right back in the days of Noah, what was the Holy Ghost doing? He was striving with men. Genesis 6 and 3. Convicting them of sin, pointing them God's way of salvation, warning them of judgment and wrath to come, giving the invitation, come, here is God's ark, come, flee, while there's time. That was the Holy Spirit's work way back at the dawn of human history. And it's still the Holy Spirit's work today. You know, the Holy Ghost really has only one message for a sinner. I have talked to many people over the years that I have been in the ministry, in many different places, and under many different circumstances. I have found people who are willing to talk about prophecy. They're willing to discuss modern politics in the light of the Bible. They're willing to discuss many controversial things in Scripture. But I have found that many, many souls just don't want to hear what the main message of the Bible is. That is, you personally come to Christ. Come to Christ. You can be a Protestant, be it Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever, and be lost in hell. You can be a Roman Catholic baptized, confirmed, paying attention to all the sacraments of the church, be lost in hell. But you cannot possibly come to Christ and receive Him by faith and ever be lost. It's impossible.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.